This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is this?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Zach and I are really close. I think the world of Zach. Got a ton of respect for him. He's a heck of a football coach. But we stay in touch because we're buds. And obviously we're going to catch up with each other on how things are going. But I'm proud of Zach. I thought those guys played great football this year. And they had a chance to win it all in the end. And I'm sure he's going to be diving in like we are right now, trying to get better.
Mike McDonald, head coach, Seattle Seahawks, talking about Zach Orr, the guy who replaced him as defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is News from the Nest on this Total Request Thursday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. And look, for Mike McDonald, which we'll talk about in a second, he goes out, Seattle had early success, then they kind of faded down the stretch, but competitive. They still like the direction the team is heading in. But for Zach Orr replacing him, there were bumps in the road for the Ravens' defense in the first half of the season, to the point where Dean Pease literally had to come out of retirement to advise things. But Vinny, as you watch the season unfold, heading into the postseason, how much better did Zach Orr get, and how much better can he get moving forward here?
Well, he got better. You know, whether it was, it sounded like, Bob, that they had nobody prior to Dean Pease. They had nobody that had history of the defense and all the little intricacies of the defense. And when they brought in Dean Pease, it's like, oh, this is why we did this. And, you know, because otherwise, okay, we're doing this. Why did you? That's the way we've always done it. No, you know, where Dean Pease could say, all right, this is why we did. This is why we do this technique. This is why we do that. And then, you know what, with Pagano, he was here when it started, so he's one of the originals. So yeah, having now, to me, they're being smart about it. They're having that veteran guy. Then you know what? You want some younger guys like Santucci and some of these other guys they got on defensive staff. That's fine because you got that old guy to help Zach through it. And I think that's what they're doing. Is I think Zach learned a ton, and he's going to be better this year, and he's probably already better because they've been meeting, you know, all the new coaches, and Zach had been meeting with Pagano and stuff, and Zach is learning even more. So he's going to be better. And the other thing, like with Mike McDonald, what did Harbs do with Mike McDonald? Sent him to Michigan for a year to call defensive plays and then brought him back. So he was kind of ahead of where Zach is. Zach was Mike McDonald's linebacker coach, and then all of a sudden, boom, all right, you're calling plays. First game, it's an easy Andy Reid. You know, so, I mean, because we talked about that all offseason, you know, those kind of concerns. So I think he got better and got a long ways to go. And he's going to learn a ton more from Chuck Pagano. And I think he's going to, it's going to be easier for him this year calling those plays.
So let's just go back to when he got the job to begin with, where area of concern, right, Nolan, Zach Gore, because of the never called plays before, as you just mentioned. Now we sit here about a year later, and I'm speaking for Bob Haney, least of my concerns with the Ravens is Zach Gore being the defensive coordinator.
Right.
One of, anyway.
Yeah, and you probably, Bob, if you probably have less concern and probably less worries about it because of Chuck Pagano being right there, too.
No doubt about it.
So I think that there's comfort level there. If they didn't have, you know, I don't know if they would have been able to hire all the guys they've hired if Chuck wasn't there. Because the kid they get from Kansas City is 35 years old. You know, the guy from Georgia Tech's 39. You know, a lot of younger guys. And I always tell a story about Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan said, just give me a good O-line coach, and then give me a bunch of young guys, because I don't want people telling me what to do or how to do it. And that may be with what the, you know, with Chuck Pagano is, you know, give us some young guys to teach, develop, because we've got the core, we've got the base around it.
Yeah, I don't think Zach Orr's scheme is wildly different from what we've seen from McDonald or others in the past. I mean, it's kind of a similar mold. Mm-hmm. But this year, you know he's your guy, whereas last year is kind of just inheriting a defense that he was still a part of the staff, but still inheriting an entirely, you know, a foundation that was already there. Now maybe some of the players you add, either in free agency or players you're looking to draft, are you doing that with Zach Orr's scheme in mind? You know, what he does well. Again, I didn't see anything that was crazy different, you know, that he's doing things that are just completely opposite of McDonald, but I don't know.
I would say this. You know, the biggest thing that I see is when Mike McDonald was there, how many guys had career years? Quite a few. Matabike, Clowney, Hamilton.
Stevens.
Stevens. A bunch of them. All right. Zach Orr's year. How many guys had career years? Probably one. Marlon Humphrey.
Oway.
Yeah, Oway, too. Yeah, Oway, too. You know, but... So
guys got better too. Mm-hmm. I think
I agree with that.
Progressed.
Yeah, I agree. After that Cincinnati game, and when Dean Pease came in, you know, just like how many coaches did we hear say you can see the Dean Pease factor in there?
Sure, I think Mike Tomlin was one of them right out of the gate,
and Belichick I think too was saying that.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest on this Total Request Thursday. Speaking of coaching changes. Over the last couple of years, here's John Harbaugh. I guess when you have success, you got to deal with this sort of thing, right, Harbs?
Yeah, that's the thing that we found in the last 3, 4, 5 years. We've had a lot of coaching changes and different reasons for different coaching changes. Guys have gotten opportunities. We've had a lot of success. And that's a good thing, but it's a challenging thing because, you know, from the coaching side, there's nothing more important than your staff. And we have a great coaching staff. We've had great coaches come through. I'm going to be talking to Anthony Weaver and Mike McDonald later today. And those guys are two of the great coaches that kind of have helped us become what we are as a program.
I would imagine that, you know, Harv's probably asking them, you know, what did you see from our defense? You know, I mean, because to me, when you're seeing former colleagues and stuff there and had been on your team, what did you see in our defense? What you know, you played us. What did you think? So I would think that Harbs was on a search type thing message, you know, when he was talking to those guys.
Now we go back to the Super Bowl here, Philadelphia against Kansas City, and the Eagles dominated up front. Didn't even have to blitz, just dominated the line of scrimmage, handling their business. Ravens would like to maybe model themselves after that. Here's John Harbaugh talking about getting stronger in the trenches and looking to improve on both sides of the ball.
It starts, Cliff, it starts there. You know, it starts on the offensive and defensive line. So we're going to be looking at both lines really hard. You look at every position. It gets a deep running back class from what I've been told, too. So we'll be looking at that position, too. But, yeah, game-wrecking defensive tackles, kind of a big deal. You know, pass-pressuring defensive ends, that's kind of a big deal, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you look at – because everybody looks at the team that won the Super Bowl, and what did they do? Oh, they were able to rush with just four guys. Now, and everybody's given the Eagles' D-line a ton of credit. But then you look at what's Kansas City's biggest weakness. Their offensive line. So, you know, it's probably not as great as it seems on the Eagles' side because the Chiefs are so bad. And they were beat up in their offensive line, too. They're playing a guard at left tackle. But I do agree with Harbs. You know, the trenches. Especially, what do the Ravens like to do? They like to run the football and protect your quarterback. Look at the Bears. I mean, the Bears are a good example of, you know, they went out and got received, but they forgot about their old line, so the quarterback got the crap beat out of them. Now, you watch in this year's draft, watch all the linemen that they're going to draft this year. Because the bottom line is, you got to be able to protect that quarterback.
It's 5-7 the Fan. When we come back, let's count some dough, hopefully with buy or sell, talk about sports subjects of this total request Thursday. Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com, talk about Maryland's loss last night. At the buzzer. 60-footer at the buzzer to Michigan State. And not saying it's a devastating loss. We'd like to get it. Chances of winning the Big Ten regular season probably went bye-bye. But still a chance to finish in the top four. Maybe even get a 4 seed when it's all said and done. And Zion Ely said that he's done with his recruitment. He's the class of 26. That's another year plus away. Said, I'm done. Stop bothering me. Are we buying that?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney. 1057
The Fan. Hey, 1057 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play, get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday, that reveal. About an hour and a half or so. Bob Haney, V. Serato, Nolan McGraw, Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Talk about Maryland's loss last night at Michigan State. Look ahead to Penn State. What's happening in the recruiting landscape for Mike Locksley in football there? Spring game's coming up, what, month and a half?
So they're one of the ones going to have their spring game.
Because they're dropping like flies nowadays, at least for now. Who knows? And then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Before we get to the sports subjects of this day, let's count that dough by yourself.
Well, the Dow's up 154. The S&P's down 21. NASDAQ is down 168. DraftKings up 62 cents. Under Armour's down a nickel, 645.
Well, let's begin in the NFL today, where every team has multiple needs entering free agency in the draft, but every team could certainly identify one position group that would take precedent over the others. Jordan DeJani has listed one top need for every AFC team. It's from CBSSports.com. Most are pretty self-explanatory here, but I was interested to see wide receiver listed as the Steelers' top need. The quarterback situation, that would probably stand out as a bigger need to me, maybe more help on the O-line, but DeJani writes that their pursuit of Brandon Ayuk and others in trades signals how much they value getting a top wide receive option, plus George Pickens entering the final year of his rookie deal. Vinny, are you buying or selling wide receiver as the top need for Pittsburgh?
I'll kind of soft buy it. I think quarterback is number one, but receiver's right up there because Pickens, you know, character's shady. I don't see how you're going to go pay that guy $30 million. And they need another guy because Freiermuth's not a burner type guy. So, yeah, and they're not explosive. They don't score. The last four games they scored 14 points a game.
Is Pickens a true number one to you? I mean, he puts up good stats, but it's just a lot of, like, you know,
he's just not consistent. He's not a good route runner. He's not consistent enough to be that true number. You'd like him as your number two because he's a headache. And right now, you know, his production is bigger than the headache, but that headache is going to get big, you know. And what are you going to get if you pay him? That would be my concern. What's he going to be like then?
Over to the NBA, where the Knicks, they put together a pretty solid season so far, and maybe more importantly, they've stayed healthy for the most part. Their only problem really appears to be their record so far this year against top teams. 0-7, in fact, against Boston, Cleveland, and OKC. Most of these games, by the way, haven't even been close, some even losing by 20-plus points. Still time to maybe reverse that trend. They'll face Boston one more time, Cleveland two more times before the playoffs. But buy or sell, Bob, even as a smaller sample size, this should be a major concern for New York.
Sure, I'll buy that. Even Boogie Cousins, who now does one of the podcasts. I mean, everyone has a podcast. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a podcast, there's something wrong with you. But he says they're fool's gold. They beat up on the Philadelphias of the world. By the way, they almost blew a big lead last night against the Sixers. Speaking of podcasts, Paul George is going to stop his because he wants them to do better. Concentrate on them right now. What are they? They've lost nine in a row. I mean, you're going to have to turn it around sooner or later. But yes, I'm buying that for sure. The scariest team right now in the East is the Detroit Pistons, winners of eight in a row, outside of Cleveland, of course.
We go back to the NFL. There's going to be a lot of speculation about what the Titans plan to do with the top overall pick. Sure, they could use a quarterback just like the Browns and Giants right behind them. But let's just say Will Levis, he doesn't have a lot of supporters right now, but it's safe to say he's a little bit more inspiring, certainly more potential than the quarterback situations for Cleveland and New York right now. Based on which mocks you're looking at, the top player this year might not even be a quarterback. Abdul Carter is up there in the number one overall pick territory. Travis Hunter is going to be high on the boards as well. Vinny, buy or sell, if the Titans are dead set on one of those non-quarterback players, they should definitely look to trade back out of the first spot.
It all depends on who your guy is that you take. Because with Cleveland, and, you know, we'll know if Garrett's there or not. If Garrett's gone and you want Abdul Carter, then you can't go past two. So there's still a lot of things that got to happen yet before you need to make that decision.
Over to baseball, Yankees designated hitter Giancarlo Stanton, been away from the team so far this spring, undergoing some medical tests back in New York. Tendonitis in both elbows, as a matter of fact. That's what's plaguing him right now, but his injury history, very extensive, and it's prevented him from playing 115 games or more the last 3 years. Outside of his red-hot playoff run last year, the numbers have been abysmal overall. Buy or sell, Bob, Stanton will continue to take more steps backwards and play less than 100 games this year.
Ooh, 100 games. Both elbows, as we talked about. Oh, man. I'll sell that, but it's going to be in that range of 100 games. Look, they're Minnesota, which is a huge absence to that lineup. All of a sudden, they're talking about Jazz Chisholm like he's Robbie Alomar, but whatever. It's the Yankees. Got to smooch that pinstripe ass in February. But Stanton, unfortunately, injuries of... I don't know if he was a five-tool guy. He was a strong four-tool. Now he's a tool. Home runs. No, I'm not saying he's a tool like in that sense.
No, stand by that. That was good. That was classic.
It was unintentional humor. But his power is kind of the one thing he's got going. And when he gets on a heater, as you said, Nolan, we saw in October, he can carry a little bit.
All right, let's see here. The Jets. The Jets. We know they've moved on from Aaron Rodgers. now that's left is the roster they constructed around him, including wide receiver Devontae Adams, who they traded for midseason with the Raiders. Both their new GM and head coach didn't really feed into any speculation about Adams' status this week at the Combine, just simply noting he's under contract, he's on the roster. That's all we're going to say right now. But what can't be ignored is the massive cap hits that he carries this year and next year. Some sort of movement is required, whether it's a restructure, a trade, a release. They got to do something. Buy or sell, Vinny. Adams will ask out and follow Rodgers wherever he ends up in free agency.
I'll sell that. I think he'll ask out, but I don't think he'll follow Rodgers wherever Rodgers goes. Sounds like Rodgers wants to go to the NFC West. And with Adams, you know, he may end up, you know, at the Chargers or something like that, which be great for him.
That'd be a nice fit.
Yeah, for no, both, no,
for
no
both
doubt.
Parties, for sure. The
seems
money
like
can work.
Probably learned his lesson from the, you know, you want to get out of Vegas. I don't blame you. It's a bad situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no quarterback.
But, you know, it blows up with the Jets. He's probably like, just get me on a somewhat competent team here, please.
Yeah, right. He's still kind of in the prime of his career. Rodgers,
what is he, 31? Want to say he's like 31.
Right. He's 14, I believe, when
he's 32,
got drafted.
Actually.
Yeah, 32.
But so he's still a high-level guy.
Mm-hmm. No
Rodgers
doubt.
Is a descending
oh, yes.
player. And if he goes to Minnesota, everybody keeps connecting those Favre darts.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think they need him, right? I don't think the Vikings need a receiver. It's like the last thing they need.
Yeah. No. But that'd be special with him and Jefferson, though. I mean, how do you stop that?
Well, they got Addison.
And Addison
they got
on top of that. That's,
Hawkinson.
That's too many mouths to feed.
That's right.
And no quarterback. Well, anyway.
JJ.
Yes.
Sorry, before we break here, we have a ticket giveaway today.
Oh!
It's Ticket Thursday here on Vinny and Haney.
It is?
News to me as well.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Hey,
today's Thursday,
we
right?
love free stuff.
Hey, no nation like a donation. I can't stress that enough.
Well, I got two tickets right here to see the Dave Matthews Band, who was actually our featured artist a few weeks ago when you were out, Bob.
Oh,
they're
going to
be at Meriwether Post Pavilion on May 31st. Tickets on sale courtesy of Live Nation. Win a pair right now if you are caller number 5 at 410-583-1057.
I miss Dave Matthews.
You did, yeah.
Ah, you should have called me. I would have got out of my sick bed to come in. I'm all here, no, hell no. We'll come back, talk about Terps last night. They were whining a little bit, or a lot of fans. Bricks thrown all over the floor. What did Izzo say? It's a rock fight. No, it was bricks. Those were bricks. Those weren't rocks. All over the rims at the Xfinity Center, but Michigan State gets it. We'll talk to Jeff about the loss last night, the lack of point production from the bench. And now going to Penn State, which has been a house of horrors for Maryland basketball over the decade. Get caught up on football recruiting as well. But now, Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch at 1. And then we'll give you the Orioles lineup as they get ready for the Blue Jays. Jordan Westberg dealing with a sore back.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Steve Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. A little fog hat for you. Full for the city. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Talking about it. First hour of the show. Terps lose last night. A game you heard on The Fan. 58-55, 60-footer at the buzzer. All right. Whatever. Happens. Is what it is. Frustrating game to watch in many different levels. And I'm sure Izzo wasn't exactly happy with his offensive performance, but he got the win, and I guess that's all that matters. Here to talk about that and a little football recruiting. I mean, is the top recruit maybe in Maryland football history based on the new fancy rankings, shut down his recruitment, and he's set for College Park. Here to talk about that and more from InsideMDSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. So welcome back to the show, Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, what is up?
Hey, Bob and Vinny. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. And look, we heard Izzo after the game talking about they deserve to win, and I don't necessarily disagree with that assessment. Talked about it being a rock fight. No, it was more like bricks and cinder blocks flying around the Xfinity Center for both teams. But Maryland, as you know, they're starting five, prolific starting five offensively, most prolific in the country. Bench, worst in the Big Ten. Michigan State, they're starting five, worst in the Big Ten, but their bench number one in the Big Ten in point production. They don't shoot threes. They stop you from shooting threes. So as we look at it, say you didn't see the 60-foot shot to win the game and you saw the result, probably wouldn't be surprised, because if Maryland scored 55 against anybody, we're guessing, Jeff, the chances of them winning are slim, especially against the Spartans here.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, Bob, you pretty much knew it was going to be, you know, like they always say, styles make fights. It was going to be Maryland's big men and their advantage in the paint against Michigan State's depth, you know, with 10 guys, as they mentioned on the broadcast, 10 guys averaging 13 minutes or more per game. You know, Maryland has six guys averaging that, and the sixth among them, Deshaun Harris-Smith, averages about 2 points a game. So, you know, it was a depth thing. I think that, you know, Maryland looked a little uncomfortable out of the start. A lot of those guys, even though it was their home arena, looked like the moment they weren't used to that kind of high level atmosphere, that kind of game, or opponent for that matter. And then, you know, you get nothing out of your big men. You know, Julian Reese had 4 points, 7 rebounds, and Derek Queen was 2 for 11. Against a team like that with that kind of depth, where you can't match the depth with the struggling bench that you mentioned, you're not going to win that game very often. But, you know, I guess the silver lining is, even with all of those things said, it still took a miracle shot to beat them.
No doubt about it. What's that, the second buzzer beater? Then you had the Ohio State game, 35-footer off the glass, whatever. But you mentioned the big men, and if Reese struggles, Queen usually picks him up, or vice versa. Neither, I don't want to say they didn't come to play, but did the physicality get to them as Izzo brings them big guys off the bench in waves, and they like to knock heads down there? And we saw it last night. They got killed on the offensive glass.
Yeah, it definitely did. You know, they bothered Queen playing up on him pretty strong. A lot of times those drives to the hoop work for him. Also, you know, he's taking some outside shots that probably weren't the best shots, but you know, you have to kind of expect that to some extent from a finesse freshman and his first time playing against maybe the most physical team in the country, or clearly the most physical year over year in the Big Ten. Reese, I think, you know, you can expect more from him. 2 of 7 on the night. Just looked out of rhythm from the very start, had the missed dunk, and then, you know, they've shot the three exceptionally well lately, but last night, Rodney Rice was the only guy, you know, to make one. He was 4 of 8. The rest of the team was 0 for 12.
Now, we talk about they learn from this experience, and all of the losses have been winnable games. We just talked about, Jeff, the buzzer beaters and half-court shots and whatnot, and blowing double-digit leads and et cetera, et cetera. So at this, you're only 2 regular season games left. What do you learn? I mean, don't let a guy get a 60-foot shot. Maybe don't take a jumper with 4 seconds left. Maybe make that extra pass to Miguel in the corner or whatever it is. What exactly do you learn from this experience here?
Yeah, that shot was a bad decision. You know, as he went up, I was thinking, I was shocked to see him lift up to shoot that with 5 seconds on the clock, especially from that far behind the line. I think the whole comeback had been fueled by driving to the paint and getting to the line. All 7 points during that game-tying 7-0 run came from the free throw line. So I would have liked to see him at least get closer for a three or try to get into the paint. That didn't happen, obviously. He was 11 of 11 from the line. So he did, you know, he did contribute a lot. But yeah, I think you've learned that you can play with that, with a team that's probably going to be a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. And again, that it takes them, you know, you having an awful night, which some of them was there, obviously their work, they earned that, but to beat you, you know, I think it gives you some confidence. But still, going into the tournament, the big question going into the postseason is, can you just rely on these 5 guys for all of your offense? Basically, it was another scoreless night from the bench.
Jeff Erdman inside MDSports.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now, at Penn State, where Maryland's lost, 7 in a row, back to 2015, yeah. Ace Baldwin's buddies with Queen and Reese from their days at St. Francis. They lost last night, but they had showed a pulse in the previous 2 games. 2-parter, why have they sucked at Penn State? And, you know, anything about learning, I would assume that you can't just assume you're going to roll the ball out there and the Nittany Lions are going to go running for cover here.
Yeah, it's a very strange dynamic how much they've struggled there. They did have a few pretty decent teams during that stretch. They were never great, but it wasn't like they were always losing to, like, vintage bad Penn State basketball teams. But that's when you really have to rebound quickly, go win that game. That's one of the worst teams in the Big Ten right now. They're not hardly beating anybody. You know, if you're the team that you think you are, you need to bounce back and win that one without too much stress. And my gut says they will. I think they'll end that losing streak. But like you said, it has been a house of horrors for them for a while now.
Hey, Jeff, when Zion Ealy, who was at the basketball game last night, Terps' number one recruit for next year, 2026, when he says, "I'm shutting down my recruiting," do you believe him?
Yeah, I do believe him because, you know, those visits are coming up in the fall. I don't think there would be any reason to really say it right now if he wasn't committed to it. Of course, you never know. I'm sure he's getting texts from coaches and he's still responding to some of them, but that's not the important part. The important part is he's saying he's not going to take the visits. You know, not taking any of those official visits significantly increases your chances of keeping him committed. So I think I do believe him, but obviously you never know in recruiting, especially with a high level recruit that has all the blue bloods after him. And now with the ability, you know, for other teams to make it a bidding war. But, you know, it was a very positive development for them, especially when you look at the fact that he's the number two recruit in the country in that class.
Now, Jeff, how about like two more new coaches recently? Your D coordinator leaves and goes to Jackson State. You know, and some of the, you know, and why so many coaching changes year after year after year?
Yeah, there has been a lot of turnover, Vinny, especially this year. I mean, I think some of it this year is just related to how bad last year was. Anytime you have that kind of year, 1-8 in the Big Ten, and there's pressure to turn it around, you're going to make moves. They've had a lot of turnover this year. Like you said, Brian Williams to Jacksonville State. I think that one was sort of mutual. You know, as we know, there's very few truly mutual decisions and breakups or coaching changes, but it's hard to say, really, you know, not being inside of the building, what it is. I think part of it, obviously, is that at Maryland, you're on the lower end of the totem pole, so if you have a young rising guy, you're going to have to fend off bigger name programs that have more money. And then, you know, it's hard to say what the rest is. It's just, it has been a lot of turnover. Next year, they'll have new guys at several positions. I'm hearing, you know, that Ted Monachino, who was a defensive line coach last year at UNC, is likely to fill that coordinator spot. I think Kevin Sumlin is leaving at tight end. You have a guy named Hal Hall, longtime NFL assistant, who I expect to fill that role. So, you know, they're going to enter next season needing to win and doing it with a largely new and reshuffled coaching staff.
Is there still plans for a spring game here, since a lot of teams in the Big Ten, as a matter of fact, are saying, "Now we're good"?
I haven't heard yet about any otherwise, but I will say it would not surprise me at all. You know, the reason these coaches, a lot of them, are canceling it is because they don't want to give other programs a free look at what they have on the roster and to decide which guys to try to come after, because there's no such thing as tampering anymore. Everybody's just openly doing it. And so, you know, Mike Loxley is definitely the kind of guy who, you know, worries about those things or, you know, wants to keep things in house. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they did away with it, but no news yet.
Jeff Berman, what's happening at InsideMDSports.com today?
Well, today it's a lot of misery, Bob. But
yeah, right.
Yeah, all the basketball and football news, recruiting scoop you won't find anywhere else, so come check us out.
Jeff, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll catch up with you next week sometime.
You too. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Here's Jeff Berman, everyone. Remember they had rules to prevent that sort of thing in the NCAA?
Now it's wild, wild west.
Yes, it is. Where's Robert Conrad when you need him? We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse with Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch, 1 o'clock, give you the Orioles lineup, and a score update is 105. They're taking on the Blue Jays. Westberg soared back. No Tony Taters in the Toronto lineup today. And Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Hey, he mentioned the quarterback stuff earlier in the show. Matt Stafford wants $50 million. What's this guy on, drugs or something? Everybody loving life now that Luka and LeBron are together. ELE. Everybody love everybody.
Mm-hmm.
See him doing push-ups in front of the Mavs bench the other day to prove that he is, in fact, not out of shape. Anthony Davis trying to convalesce from yet another injury, and you know, Stafford wants $50 million. Could Purdy be on the outs? You see Greasy quit.
Did he quit or he got fired?
Well, it looked like he had wanted to quit 2 years ago and like stuck around.
Oh.
Because he's been the Purdy whisperer, Brian Greasy, that is.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going on
but
with
if,
that.
But if you're Stafford's agent, Bob, and how can you, like, the way that he's played lately and everything, I understand he's 37, but, I mean, you look at Trevor Lawrence, you look at some of these quarterbacks that are getting the 50s.
No doubt.
I mean, if I'm him, why shouldn't I? I mean, give me a good, other than age.
He's won a Super Bowl. They've been to the playoffs pretty much every year he's been there.
And he's had great stats.
Well, age is a big one, though. That's a big old number.
Yeah,
50 mil's crazy. Yum.
Well, yeah, but I still don't. But if you're doing, because if I'm Stafford, I'm saying, who do you compare me to? You know, look at what I've done. And that's what we're going on, right? What have I done? And, you know, Jared Goff's making 50-some million.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be the favorites to win the division.
Yeah.
If he stays.
Right. So, I mean, I don't quite... I mean, if I'm Matthew Stafford, I'm kind of holding, you know, all right, give me 2 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the Raiders are very interested. Tom Brady met with him, trying to entice him. Although, I mean... they got to still put together a package to land him in a trade. So
well, they could get in. I mean,
how does he get to call games and he's negotiating? This blows
the
my
league,
mind.
The league actually investigated it for tampering. They said there's nothing there. I mean, because the Rams gave him permission and his agent to talk to whoever.
Okay.
And about contract details on top of it. So that just opened up the floodgates right there.
Now, supposedly, Brady has a house in Montana. Stafford has a house in Montana. And they were together at a ski resort in Montana.
What, next to Yellowstone?
Start printing the jerseys.
Kevin Costner was there.
Video at 81.05. Show the fans. Let's go to Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start here with Howard in Baltimore, who says, even though Maryland lost the game on a heartbreaker, was still impressed with their poise and maturity. After the game, Izzo was in shock because he knew that this Maryland team probably would have won had the game gone to overtime. Maryland really impresses me when they play. No one will want to face them in the tournament.
Absolutely not. They're a dangerous, dangerous team. They're one of the best teams in the Big Ten, which is one of the best conferences in all of the country, but let's see them rebound, no pun intended, nicely against Penn State, handle their business against Northwestern, and do a little damage in the Big Ten tournament, too, which has been rare since they moved from the ACC.
And still a great opportunity at Michigan to pick up a ranked win there.
No doubt about it. Michigan right now, with Michigan State, kind of fighting for that number one seed in the conference.
Now, Jacoby Gillespie taking some heat, some criticism for shooting a little bit early there at the end of the game. But Texter here says, taking the shot with 7 seconds left, not a big deal. You don't know if you're going to get a better look if you wait, plus a chance for an offensive rebound and putback.
Well, the way that the ball kind of caromed off the rim, extra pass, Miguel's wide open in the corner. Again, we stress it. We could sit here and, you know, next day, John Wooden it. Both, they were 0 for 9 combined from 3. So it's not like you're guaranteed to get it, but maybe a better look. Because the Gillespie shot, that was a 30-footer.
Right.
And he had been off all night long.
And you knew it was short as soon as it left his hands from where he took off from.
So did he.
Yeah.
But, dude, 60-footer at the buzzer, I'll take my chances 9 out of 10 times.
Unless you're playing Michigan State.
Right.
It's always something about bitches. Yes.
They practice that, they said.
Oh. let's see. How about one more here? Eric in Bel Air, not so positive, says, great. I'm not seeing any sort of special NBA career for Derek Queen. He dominates the average Joes, but disappears offensively every time he faces legit big men who don't back down. Shooting a pair of threes in the second half should tell you all you need to know. Reese and Queen will disappear again against good teams in both tourneys.
Yeah, that was a disappointing performance for both. And Derek Queen, I know you want to show off in front of the NBA scouts and bring your multifaceted game. I mean, he did go off against Rutgers a couple of weeks ago, even though Ace Bailey was dealing with the flu. I wouldn't discount this guy and call him a stiff, and you know, he only rises up against slappies. But last night, you know, one of them had to show up, and unfortunately for Kevin Willard, neither one did.
Right, and when he's been dominant in the past, I mean, he doesn't attempt a three at all. I mean, I think he went months without attempting one. He did it a little bit early in the season.
He's two for the season.
Right. But it seemed like somebody told him, hey, you know, you're better suited down low. I mean, let cut this stuff out. We got enough shooters.
He'll handle the ball at the top of the key and get himself into the paint and, you know, at least draw fouls. But he was missing layups last night. He was outside of that first shot. It was not an ideal performance from the floor for Derek Quinn or Julian Reese.
I don't know how did Reese miss that dunk, by the way? I mean, that thing was halfway down.
Backed him in.
Still,
backed him in.
And makes then no sense.
Yeah, well, they lost. Now we move on. They lose to Penn State. I'm guessing Monday we'll all be whining about whatever happens there, because you can't be losing to Penn State. They stink. With all due respect, Ricky Bobby style, of course. When we come back, NFL lunch, feed you some football, give you the Orioles lineup, round 115, and a score update as they get ready for the Toronto Blue Jays with Grayson Rodriguez on the hill. And we'll talk about Matt Stafford and everything going on in the sporting world with Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Another fun house trip, Nolan McGraw, and then Inside Access takes over at 2. Last hour of the show coming up next. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday.